For they love the glory that comes from God more than the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. So the question that was lying before those believers at that time was, did they love the glory of God more than man, or were they willing to compromise God's glory for the favor of men? And guess what? The same question lies before us today. In the midst of this conflict, the writer pens this letter to the Hebrews, and we need to understand that the Hebrews are the Jewish or Hebrew Christian converts to the faith, and they're being challenged by the Jews on several levels and in many ways. So the letter was written to show these believers that are struggling with their faith the supremacy of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and over the Hebrew system of Judaism. Christianity far exceeds Judaism because Jesus far exceeds Moses. God's new covenant through Jesus Christ is superior and exceeds the old covenant. The Old Testament is of God and it is good, but the New Testament brought by Jesus Christ is better. And it completes the Old Testament, and this theme echoes all the way through this letter to the Hebrews. The writer begins by comparing the way God spoke in the past with how he speaks now. When one speaks for God, then that person must use the words of God and not the words of men. It must be eternally true, and they must have, if the words they use are not God's words, then they've committed a great sin by declaring something of God that is not of God, but of man. Throughout my Christian life, I've heard statements of well-meaning people concerning their having a word of God. And I've given them the benefit of the doubt until they violate Scripture or what they have spoken is untrue. I remember when I was with a group of pastors at a prayer meeting, and a young man showed up. And he came in and explained that he had cancer and that he was on his way to the hospital for surgery. And he asked if the pastors would gather around and pray over him. And rightly so, we did gather, we laid hands, and we prayed on him. The pastor next to me said God had given him a word. And that God said this young man would be healed and would not need surgery. After we were done praying, the pastor said to me, he said, Bill, as I was praying, I felt you kind of stiffen up. And was there a problem? Did you have a problem with my prayer? And this was my answer. I said, if what you prayed is of God and the young man is healed and God is given glory, then it'll be a great time of blessing for many. However, if you took it upon yourself to speak for God without God giving you his words, then you have given false hope and you have committed a sin against God. The pastor responded, he says, well, don't you believe in modern day prophecy? And I said, sure I do. God still speaks through men and shows his glory. However, let me say that if this young man is not healed, then you have made yourself out as a false prophet. And false prophets are to be taken to the city state gate and stoned. We fast forward just a month or two, and the young man did die of his cancer. See, this pastor sought the favor of men more than the glory of God. He wanted the fellow pastors to look up to him as something special, that he was blessed by God. He was a special leader equipped by God. See, when men do that, then they have misrepresented God. And it happens all the time If you want to see it happen, all you have to do often is turn to Christian TV and look at some of the evangelists. Is it about the glory of God, or is it about them and how special God has made them? See, the writer of Hebrews is not known, because his letter to the Hebrews is all about the glory of God. It's not about him. He has spoken to mankind with the words of God, and he has been proven true for almost 2,000 years. So let me read the first three verses that we're going to focus on this morning. From Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power, and after making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high." Wow. There's a lot in these three verses. See, God speaks through time. The writer begins with how God spoke in the former days and in the former ways. It's important to understand that God lowered himself in order to speak to people. He is the one that takes the initiative and chooses to speak to us. He has chosen to do this because we are his creation. God doesn't owe it to us. He has chosen to do it. He is not obligated to speak to us. He is not obligated to save us. So to think about a God who is all-powerful and awesome in every way, and at the same time he lowers himself to the standard of people so that he can speak to us and give us all that we need to know. What an amazing thought. What an amazing God. He cares about us, and he wants to communicate his love and his mercy and his peace. So much so that God came to earth in the form of a man to personally bring people his love, his mercy, his peace, because he brought them salvation. As we think about how God spoke before Christ came to the earth, we should understand that he spoke in various ways. This is what the writer is getting at. God spoke to people through visions and dreams and face to face with prophets. And when God spoke, the prophets spoke to the people. See, God spoke through prophets that he had appointed. He spoke to Moses in the burning bush in Exodus. He spoke to Elijah in a still small voice in 1 Kings. He spoke to Isaiah, as we just saw, about the temple in chapter 6. He spoke to Amos in a vision he gave him about a basket of summer fruit. And that's an interesting one. He spoke to these prophets in various ways, and then these prophets spoke to the people. So if we understand anything about God, we must understand that it is God who reveals himself to us. We cannot find out who God is without his revelation. We are in deep need of revelation. We are in deep need of repentance. And we are in deep need of salvation. But humans can't do it on their own. Humans, our knowledge of God is, without him revealing himself, is so limited. See, we are spiritually dead until God comes and regenerates our souls and awakens us to not only who he is, but our desperate need for him. And so if we recognize all that, then it begins to shape our attitude and our thoughts towards God. And yet, one of the problems is people consistently, generation after generation, walk away from God. And all these crazy ideas about who God is come in. And again, all you have to do is kind of look and listen to our society, and you'll see there are a lot of crazy ideas of who God is that are inconsistent with the Scriptures. If one goes to the Old Testament and tries to get a clear picture of God, one comes away with kind of a fragmented picture, an incomplete picture. For example, in the book of Ruth, one gets a kind of a picture of the Redeemer in the way that Boaz was the Redeemer for Ruth and Naomi. But the picture is not complete. It is simply a kind of a shadow of the complete picture. Remember, the Old Testament is about Jesus, but it doesn't give us a complete picture of who Jesus is. It gives us fragments and alludes to him. And that's the reason many of the prophets in the Old Testament, they look so forward to Jesus Christ coming, but they didn't quite have the complete picture yet. But they still believed by faith. The Old Testament is sometimes hard as you read through it, especially if you've been reading through Leviticus, right? Which can be a difficult book to read. And sometimes it meets with resistance because we just don't quite see Jesus as clearly as we'd hope to. And this is what Luke wrote about. Luke wrote about his Redeemer and his Savior. And he says, "These are my words that I spoke to you." This is Jesus speaking. "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Once we understand who Jesus is, then we can go back and read the Old Testament, and it becomes much more clear when we see Jesus all through the New Old Testament. Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament, he fulfilled the Old Covenant, and he brought the New. Luke later wrote in Acts about the ministry of Paul. He said, "When they had appointed a day for him," and that's Paul, "they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. From morning until evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God, trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and the prophets." The Old Testament prophets spoke truth, and they spoke about Christ, but their prophecies were incomplete. God gave them bits and pieces and promises of the future. The prophets longed for Jesus, even though they didn't have a complete picture of him. The prophets knew, beyond a doubt, that God had a plan for the salvation of mankind, and they desired to see it. They desired for it to come, even though they lacked a complete and full picture. The Apostle Peter confirmed the desire of the Old Testament prophets when he wrote, he said, "Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully." What does that tell us? It tells us the prophets knew that what was coming wasn't for them, but they were prophesying and praying for the future generations. Inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. And the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. So we understand that the prophets knew that God was speaking through them and that there would be more coming later. The Bible contains what theologians call progressive revelation. As you're turning the pages and working your way through the Bible, through God's Word, you discover more and more specific information, more information concerning the Savior, until we reach the pages of the New Testament when the Savior has come. The prophets were guided along, it says, by the Holy Spirit, like the wind carries along a sailboat. They spoke and wrote what the Lord gave them to write. No true prophet of God spoke his own words, but spoke the words of God and the words God wanted them to speak. Peter tells us, he says, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. All prophecy is consistent with God's Bible, word of the Bible. Old Testament prophets often spoke of future things, things to come, which were proven to be true later. New Testament prophecy, present day prophecy. When someone has a prophecy from God today, it must be 100% consistent with the Scriptures. Otherwise, it is not from God. See, it's also important for us to understand when God speaks, things happen. When God speaks, things happen. Now, I know as parents, we've all had an experience when we've given out a word and they've fallen on the deaf ears of our children, who seemed to have selective hearing and didn't always respond the way we had hoped they would. But God's words are different. Even if people choose not to hear from God, His promises will happen. Again, the prophet Isaiah teaches that what God commands, he says, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty. But it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and it shall succeed in the things for which I sent it. God's purposes will happen whether you agree with them or want to listen to them or not. When God spoke, creation came into existence and it obeyed. God's word created everything. When he spoke, he said, let there be light. And there was light. See, God spoke and things took place. His very word creates. Unfortunately, humans have a tendency to worship the wrong things. When God spoke to the prophets, when he set up the temple, then guess what? People began to worship the prophets in the temple instead of God. The writer of Hebrews tells us that God has given another word in which he now speaks. Literally, when we look at this text, it says, in former times, God spoke by prophets, but now he speaks by his Son. God has a new mode or a new method in which he makes his revelation known. Formerly, he spoke to the prophet, and the prophet spoke to the people. Now God speaks to us directly through his Son, Jesus Christ, God the Son. At Jesus' transfiguration, he appeared with Moses and Elijah. Peter wanted to build a tent for all three of them. God told Peter that he needed to understand something. He needed to understand that the resurrected Jesus is the new covenant, the better covenant. And God says then to Peter, James, and John at the transfiguration, he says, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, rise and have no fear. And when they lifted their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. See, the prophets are only a shadow of who Jesus is. Do you see Peter's tendency was just like the people of old? He was going to worship Moses and Elijah just the way he was going to worship Jesus. And that's a problem. The problem with the Old Testament was there was a middleman. God spoke to the prophet spoke to the people. The people worshiped what they saw and what they understood, which was the prophets and the temple. Now there is no middleman. God speaks through Jesus Christ. Jesus is God, so when God, Jesus speaks in the pages of Scripture of the New Testament, we are hearing the words of God Himself. Jesus is superior to all the prophets. God was clearly saying, there is a difference now how I am going to show you my revelation, how I'm going to relate to you as my people. In the past, you listened to Moses and the prophets. Now listen to me. Listen to God. Listen to my son, Jesus Christ. So that's the present way. Reading verse 2, it says, in these last days, God has spoken to us by his son, with whom he appointed the heir of all things and through whom he created the world. So while it is important to see the way God speaks in the latter days is superior to the former days, it is also important to note that the message is the same. We really don't have an Old Testament and a New Testament. We have the one Testament of God who gives us all the truth of God before Christ and then when Christ comes. The Old Testament leads to the New, just as John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ, and his preaching was to prepare the people to hear the preaching of Jesus Christ. So the old was to get the world ready for the message of the new through Jesus Christ. Now in Christ, we have entered into this pivotal point in the salvation of God's people. Everything has come together. When the time was right and when everything was in place, God came to earth and put on flesh and gave us a fuller, more complete revelation to understand our salvation through God by Christ. As Paul made this clear, he said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so they might receive adoption as sons. The Old Testament law was to show people their sin and their desperate need for a Savior. But it could not save. When someone says to you, I'm in good standing with God because I keep His commandments, they really don't understand the commandments correctly. First of all, the commandments are the law of God, and they were to show us our sin. And secondly, God is the only one that's ever kept all 10 commandments. All of us have fallen short somehow. So while the law can only condemn and not save, the gospel saves through repentance and submission to Christ as your Lord and Savior. And these things are even more important than the 10 commandments, because now you will keep the commandments out of the love for Christ, not because they're the law. To say it a little more succinctly, in the new covenant, God speaks Son. In the past, God spoke prophet. In the present, God speaks Son. In the past, He spoke to our forefathers. In the present, He speaks to us. Israel would hear a prophet speak and they would test his words to see if they were true and if they came to pass. God sent prophet after prophet, but the people continued to move away from God. Today, We must realize that God speaks to us through His Son, and there is no other revelation coming because there is no other Son of God. We read the pages of the New Testament, and we hear the words of God. We hear as He speaks to us through Christ and His revelation, and we see clearly that the Word of God has the authority. It is complete. It is perfect. And the Bible is done. Since there is only one Son, He has already completely spoken. And there will not be any more Scripture written. Many of the false religions have written all this additional Scripture to the Bible. It is not the Word of God. The canon of the Bible, the 66 books, are God's Word in completion. The storyline of the Bible is the progressive story of God's salvation leading up to His Son, Jesus Christ, and revelation of who Christ is and who He is in us. There is salvation in no one else but Jesus. For there is no other name other than Jesus under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. We shouldn't let the phrase "in the last days" confuse us. When Scripture speaks about the last times or the last days, it has in mind when the messianic prophecies were fulfilled. In other words, when Jesus came almost 2,000 years ago, the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament came to pass, and this placed us in the last days. The last days are simply the time between Jesus' first coming and Jesus' second coming. We are presently living in the last days, and we hear God speak by the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are currently awaiting His return. From here, we move on with the writer of Hebrews as he shows us why this new revelation through Jesus Christ is superior to the old. Very simply, the new is superior because Jesus is superior to everything. To express the excellence of the new, the writer describes what the Son has done. Jesus, the Son of God, accomplished that which is far superior of all the prophets, all they have done. Reading verses 2 and 3, it says, "In these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by His word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand on the majesty on high." What is it that Jesus has done that literally no one else has done and no one can do? Well, Jesus inherits all things. Everything belongs to Jesus. As verse 2 states, Jesus, whom God the Father appointed heir of all things. Jesus owns all creation. This means Jesus owns all people. They are His and He does with them as He wills. Jesus made it clear. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." What does it mean to us then that all creation belongs to Jesus Christ? One thing it means is that I belong to Him. You belong to Him. He is Lord over me. He is Lord over you. And He can do with us whatever He pleases. As Paul taught, he said, "As the potter has no right over the clay to make out of it, the potter has..." Is that right? Did I insert a word there? "The potter has no right over the clay to make out the same lump, one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable." Jesus is the potter. We are the clay. We have no right to tell Him what to make us into. He is our master, and we are His servants. We are to obey.
I think the wording on that verse is wrong. Huh? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Whew. I knew that didn't sound right. Also, Jesus created all things. Verse 2 continues. It says, telling about Jesus' superiority, it says, through whom also he created the world. So not only does the Lord Jesus own all things, but he made all things. Jesus is the creator of all, including you and me. And again, it's Paul who makes this clear when he says, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. So not only did Jesus create everything, but everything that was created is created for Jesus. And then verse 3 says, he is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. This doesn't mean that Jesus reflects the glory of God, as some translations have recorded. The moon reflects the glory or the light of the sun, but it has no light of its own. Jesus does radiate God's glory. In other words, he produces God's glory because he is God. He is God the Son. He doesn't simply reflect God's glory. As the Apostle John wrote, he said, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. So when it says they will reign forever and ever, who is that? How about the triune God? The triune God will be our glory in heaven, will be our light in heaven, and he will reign forever. So John understood completely that Jesus was God of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. One God exhibited to us because of our limited ability to understand in three persons. Right. That's all right. And they will reign forever and ever. It depends, I guess, there you could take it either way. I think it means that God, the triune God, is going to reign forever and be our light. Probably. You know, one of the things we have to understand about Christ is he wasn't just a mere man. He was God. He was the incarnate God, a human and God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. See, John understood Jesus was fully God as well as fully man. And then it tells us in verse 3, he says, Jesus upholds the universe by the power of his Word. Here the author is referring to Jesus as maintaining the universe by the power of his word. I mean, can you imagine just trying to maintain the earth and 7 billion people and billions of animals and insects by your word? That's beyond my imagination, let alone the entire universe. I mean, scientists are always trying to figure out how many galaxies and how many stars. And how big is the universe? And the more they learn, the more they realize they don't know. And God is so powerful. Simply by speaking, the entire universe came into existence and obeys the laws that he has put in place. And then finally, Jesus is the perfect prophet, priest, and king. Verse 3 ends up with saying that after making purification for sins, Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So why should people listen to Jesus and obey Jesus? Because the same Jesus who creates and upholds and inherits all things is the same Lord that gave his life that sinners might be reconciled back to God and have salvation. His perfect sacrifice freed people from their sin, and their sin has been taken away. And God, which again, I don't understand how he does it, says he remembers our sin no more. Because I'll tell you, it's hard for me not to remember the sins people have committed against me. But God says he remembers it no more. So why has the Old Testament been overshadowed by the New? Because we have complete revelation through God himself. Jesus is the perfect word of God given to the people for their salvation. And one thing we can see clearly from this text in the writing to the Hebrews is that there should be no doubt that God has given us his word through Jesus Christ. Let me close with one final thought. Throughout Scripture, Jesus is known possessing a threefold office. He is prophet, he is priest, and he is king. What we hold in our hands, the Bible, the Word of God, is our sufficient source of eternal knowledge. The Bible is God's final, decisive word to the world. If we are to know God, we must come to his word for instruction. We must recognize that God has given all mankind everything they need in the Bible. And he says to us in his Son and the revelation we receive from Jesus Christ, we call the New Testament. He says if we want to know him, we must accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Jesus is the final and perfect prophet. And Jesus is also the final and perfect priest. Through Jesus' obedience, his sacrificial substitutionary death, sin has been dealt with once and forever. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you can be assured your sins have been dealt with. They have been removed. And God sees you through Christ and not your sinful nature. We no longer need a human priest, for we have the perfect priest. And Jesus is the final and perfect king. He is the King of Kings. He sits at the right hand of majesty. God has highly exalted him, and God was pleased with his son's sacrifice. In light of all this, what should your response be? God tells us, and he told Peter, and he told James and John at Jesus' transfiguration. He said to them, "This is my son, my chosen one. Listen to him." Listen to Christ, no one else. Don't listen to the world, because the world will lead you astray. But the Word of God, Jesus Christ as your Savior, will take you in the path that God wants you to travel, and he will always be with you. He will never forsake you. He is a perfect God. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the writer of Hebrews, that even though we don't know exactly who it is, we thank you that you inspired him to give us these truths that help us understand you deeper, more fully. Father, we love you, and we want to seek you with our whole heart. We want to know you so that we can live for your glory, and know if we live for your glory, you will bless us, and that we may use those blessings to bless others in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.